Meditation, anubhadha, bound, hridaya, in the heart, nigadhanam, whose chains, svalinga vivaranena, by manifesting your own form, atmasatkritanam, of those you have accepted as your own, Anukampa, by compassion. Anuranjita, being colored. Vishada, bright. Ruchira, very pleasing. Shishira, cool. Smita, with a smile. Avalokana, by your glance. Vighalita, melted with compassion. Madhura Mukha Rasa, or the very sweet words from your own mouth. Amrita Kalaya, but the drops of nectar. Cha and Anta, within the course of our hearts. Tapam, the great pain. Anaga, O Supreme Pure. Arhasi, you deserve. Shamaitum, to curb. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Supreme Protector, O Grandfather, O Supreme Pure, O Lord, we all surrender souls at your lotus feet. Indeed, our minds are bound to your lotus feet in meditation by chains of love. Now please manifest your incarnation, accepting us as your eternal servants and devotees. Be pleased with us and sympathetic towards us. By your love-filled glance, with its cool and pleasing smile of sympathy, and by the sweet nectarian words emanating from your beautiful face, free us from the anxiety caused by this Vritasura who always pains the course of our hearts. Purport. Lord Brahma is considered the father of the demigods, but Krishna or Lord Vishnu is the father of Brahma because Brahma took birth from the lotus flower growing from the Lord's abdomen. Text 42. O Lord, as the small sparks of a fire cannot possibly perform the actions of the whole fire, these sparks of your Lordship cannot inform you of the necessities of our lives. You are the complete whole. Therefore, of what do we need to inform you? You know everything, because you are the original cause of the cosmic manifestation, the maintainer and annihilator of the entire universal creation. You always engage in your pastimes with your spiritual and material energies, for you are the controller of all these varied energies. You exist within all living entities, within the cosmic manifestation and also beyond them. You exist internally as Parabrahman and externally as the ingredients of the material creation. Therefore, although manifested in various stages, at different times and places, and in various bodies, you, the Personality of Godhead, are the original cause of all causes. Indeed, you are the original element. You are the witness of all activities. But because you are as great as the sky, you are never touched by any of them. You are the witness of everything as Parabrahman and Paramatma, or Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing is unknown to you. Purport. The Absolute Truth exists in three phases of spiritual understanding. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabdyate. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the cause of Brahman and Paramatma. Brahman, the impersonal Absolute Truth, is all-pervading, and Paramatma is locally situated in everyone's heart. But Bhagavan, who is worshipable by devotees, is the original cause of all causes. A pure devotee is aware that since nothing is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he need not be informed of a devotee's conveniences and inconveniences. A pure devotee knows that there is no need to ask the Absolute Truth for any material necessities. Therefore, while informing the Supreme Lord about their distress in being attacked by Vritasura, the demigods apologized for offering prayers for their safety. A neophyte devotee, of course, approaches the Supreme Lord for relief from distress or poverty, or for speculative knowledge of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita mentions four kinds of pious men who begin devotional service to the Lord. One who is distressed, artha; one in need of money, arthārthi; one who is inquisitive, jigyasu; and one who is searching for the Absolute Truth, jñāni. A pure devotee, however, knows that since the Lord is omnipresent and omniscient, there is no need to offer prayers or worship Him for one's personal benefit. A pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord without demanding anything. The Lord is present everywhere and knows the necessities of His devotees. Consequently, there is no need to disturb Him by asking Him for material benefits. Om Gyanatim Ram Dasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshur Maitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitan Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtadishitarine Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishye Namaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishrabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evache Patitanam Bhavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadar Shivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This material world is a very dangerous place. Padam padam yad vipadam. There is a danger at every step. Natural catastrophes, wildfires, floods, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, etc., etc. Just a few weeks ago, we had a small glimpse of one natural disaster happening only 800 miles or kilometers away in Nepal. We just felt a little shaking here. Maybe some of us ran down. And you could hear also conchs blowing. They were just trying to dispel the inauspiciousness. But just 800 kilometers away, people were dying. Not one or two, but thousands of them were dying. So we should not relax, thinking that we are in very comfortable and cozy situation, position. Danger can strike anytime. And not only natural catastrophes, there are so many other dangers that we don't perceive. Just step down on that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati road and don't pay attention for a moment. Crimes, robberies, car accidents, airplane accidents, anything, anytime can happen to anyone. So that's why we have to be very, very careful. But even if we are very careful, still we are not in control of what's going to happen to us. We depend on some higher power. So danger is not only here, on this planet, Bhu Loka. Danger is also on the higher planets, on Svarga. Here we see the demigods. although thousands and millions of times more powerful than ourselves, they are also put in danger. Vritasura, a huge demon, is threatening to kill them all. And what are they doing? They are approaching Supreme Personality of Godhead and praying for His help and protection, because they have no other choice. They have nobody else to ask to protect them. So they are approaching the Lord and asking Him to incarnate and kill this great demon Vritasura. But also they're saying that there is actually no need to inform you that we're in danger. Lord is omnipresent, He's everywhere, He knows everything. So what is the need to let Him know that we're in danger? So that's why they're expressing their sort of regret that they're asking Him for some material gain as their own protection. And Srila Prabhupada here in the purport makes one interesting statement. A pure devotee is aware that since nothing is unknown to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he need not be informed of devotee's conveniences and inconveniences. A pure devotee knows that there is no need to ask the Absolute Truth for any material necessities. There is no need to ask the Absolute Truth for any material necessities. So does this mean that when we are in danger, we should not ask Krishna for help? Let's look at some examples from the Shastra of some pure devotees who were put in danger. Let's see how they behave in that particular situation. For example, we have Mother Uttara, the mother of Maharaj Parikshit. Just at the end of the Kurukshetra war, when almost everybody was killed, Ashwatthama was still there from the Kurus, and he released Brahmastra to finish off the last descendant of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit, who was in the womb of Uttara. And what did she do at that situation when she saw Brahmastra approaching her? She ran towards Krishna. She raised her hands up and prayed, "Oh Krishna, Krishna, my Lord, please save my child. Please save my child." She didn't think twice. It's a quite natural thing when you're in danger that you ask for help. You don't really speculate, should I ask or should I not? No, you just naturally, it's a natural instinct. So she asked Krishna, and what did Krishna do? Immediately, He manifested Himself within her womb and shielded off the embryo of Uttara. He protected Maharaj Parikshit. This was His reciprocation with His pure devotees. He wanted Maharaj Parikshit to live, and He protected him. Then we have another example of another pure devotee who by chance was not in a human body. He was in the body of elephant. It was Gajendra. If you remember, he fought with the crocodile for thousands of years in the water. He tried everything and anything, but at the end, he didn't know what else to do. He was losing his strength. He was on the verge of surrendering. So at that difficult moment, memory from his previous life came to him. He remembered a prayer that he used to offer as Maharaj Indradyumna. And he offered that prayer to the Supreme Lord, asking Him for help. And also he expressed also some sort of regret that he is asking something material. But still, he said it was emergency and he didn't have any other choice. He had to ask for help. And of course, Lord Narayan came, Garuda, and he saved him. He killed the crocodile and released Gajendra. It gave him blessings that he can go back to Godhead, back to Vaikuntha. So there is another. So we have these two devotees who ask for help. But then we have famous example of Prahlad Maharaj. He was put in so many difficult and precarious situations. His father and his assistants, they tried to kill him in so many nasty ways. They throw him off the cliff. They threw him in front of the elephants. They put him in a boiling oil. They tried to pierce him with the swords and spears. They tried to poison him. How did he react? Well, he didn't cry out for help. He didn't cry, "Krishna, please help me." But he meditated on Krishna. He was completely absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And he was completely surrendered at that particular situation. He was completely aware that Krishna is present and that he knows the danger that he is in. So he was with the attitude, "Oh my Lord, if you want to protect me, please protect me. If you don't want, whatever, but let me always remember you." And of course, Krishna protected him in each and every particular situation. He was saved. And even here in Kashyapu, he couldn't understand, how is this possible? This boy must have some special power. I cannot heal him. Maybe my death is close because I made so many offenses to this small boy. That's how Hiranyakashipu was thinking. Similar example we have in the Shastra, Maharaj Ambarish. He was attacked by a great demon created from the hair of Durvasa Muni. What did he do? He also didn't run away from a demon. He just stood there in a prayerful mood, again very much absorbed in the thoughts of Lord Narayan. And of course, Lord, he sent his Sudarshan Chakra and chased away the demon. So we have the example of these two devotees who didn't pray for help, but still they were completely dependent and surrendered to Lord, and the Lord protected them. Then we have example of Brijbasis, the highest of all devotees. Do they pray for help? Yes, they do pray to Krishna for help. Let's look at the example of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna's own father. That was an occasion when the cowherd men, they went to Ambikavan forest to worship Lord Pashupati, Lord Shiva. At night, they rested at the bank of Saraswati. Everybody was sleeping very peacefully. Nanda Maharaj was also sleeping. And then all of a sudden, huge snake, big python came there and started swallowing Nanda Maharaj. Can you imagine? Snake comes and starts to swallow you. It must be a really huge snake. So what did Nanda Maharaj do? He immediately cried out, "Krishna, Krishna, my dear boy, please save me. I'm so surrendered to you. Please save me." He didn't think twice. He immediately called out for Krishna. Of course, cowherd men, they were around and they tried to strike the python with the torchlights and with the knives, and they tried somehow to let Nanda Maharaj be released, but the snake wouldn't let him go. But when Nanda Maharaj cried out for Krishna's help, Krishna came there and he just touched the python with his lotus foot, and immediately the snake was transformed into beautiful Vidyadhara, and Nanda Maharaj was saved. So not only Nanda Maharaj, but also cowherd boys. Once they were together with the Krishna and Balaram in the forest. They were herding cows and calves. And somehow the cows, they wandered off and they lost them. So in great anxiety, they were searching for calves and cows. Eventually, they found them and they were very happy. But at that particular moment, all of a sudden, huge forest fire appeared out of nowhere, from all sides. They didn't know where to go. They were very afraid. Cows, calves, everybody. They all look at Krishna. And they pray to him, "Oh Krishna, please save us. We are your own friends. It's not fair that we perish in this forest fire. Please save us. So spontaneously they took shelter of Krishna. And of course, Krishna told them, please, just close your eyes. Just close your eyes. So they closed their eyes. And when they opened their eyes next time, they saw themselves not only delivered from the fire, but they were transported back to original place where they came from before they start searching for the cows and the calves. But they kept their eyes closed. Krishna just swallowed the forest fire. This is the mystical opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not only cowherd boys, but all other Rajavasis, they also completely dependent on Krishna for help and protection. During the Govardhan Puja pastime, when Indra sent his thunderstorm and the clouds and the rain, torrential rain, it was completely devastating whole Raja. And cowherd men and women, they didn't know what to do. They tried to cover their heads to protect themselves from the rain, and they also tried to protect the small calves. And at that particular moment, they prayed to Krishna, Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga, O Krishna Krishna, the most fortunate one, Tvanatam Gokula Prabhu, O Lord, who are the master of Gokula and the master of cows. Tratum ahasi devana, please protect us from this angry devata, this Indra. O you who are Bhaktavatsala, who are the most affectionate to your devotees, please protect us. This is how they pray to Krishna for protection. And of course, we know the pastime. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, protected them, and showed great lesson to Indra. So you might ask, what is the difference between pure devotee asking for help and devatas, demigods asking for help? Well, apparently, they're both in danger, they both need help, and they're approaching Krishna for help. And that's okay, but there is a slight difference. Devatas, they're praying to be delivered in order to continue their life of sense gratification, of mixed devotional service with the sense gratification. But Brijabasis, on the other hand, they are souls that are completely surrendered to Krishna. Their own bodies belong to Krishna. Their very lives belong to Krishna. Whatever they do is for Krishna's happiness and for Krishna's pleasure. So when they pray for protection of their own bodies, it's actually not praying for their own selfish, separate interests like demigods do. It is meant for Krishna's pleasure, because their bodies are meant for Krishna's pleasure. Their whole lives are dedicated for Krishna's pleasure. So when they pray for Krishna's protection, it's actually praying to give more pleasure to Krishna, that they can continue to live and continue to serve Krishna. So that is the difference. Their prayer is not actually selfishly motivated. It's completely selfless. But in any case, whether these are demigods or pure devotees, so whether these are sakama devotees, devotees who have material desires, or devotees without material desires, it is always very auspicious to approach Krishna for whatever difficulty we might have. Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udharade tirana bhakti yogena yajita purusham param. So whether one is full of material desires, sarva kama, or he is completely free from material desires, akama, or he desires liberation, moksha kama, he should, at any circumstance, worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with intense devotional service, Tirana Bhakti Yogena. So even we have so many material desires, but for fulfillment of these desires, we approach the Supreme Lord, what is going to be the result? Yes, our material desires might get fulfilled, but there is a one side effect of that approaching and taking shelter of Krishna. Our heart will get purified and we will become pure devotees. And we will only want Krishna's pleasure. The most famous example is the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He approached the Lord for obtaining a kingdom. And once he had a darshan of the Lord, he realized it was actually a very insignificant desire. And after that, he prayed only for pure devotional service. So in this material world, we are not subject only to so many dangers. We are also subject to so many other difficulties. This material world is a very complicated place by default. Even in our own lives as devotees, we face difficulties. Quite often, I would say. Sometimes we are perplexed. Sometimes we are confused. We don't really know what to do. And then, whom we are going to ask for help? Whom we are going to approach for shelter? Who is going to help us? Our father, mother, husband, wife, relatives, government? Not really. And then we try everything we can on our own, really struggle hard, but at the end we realize, oh, nothing is working. Then we may try again, visiting some astrologers, going and get some stone, hang it around our neck, wear it for some time, but then we realize it's not working. Then we go to the next astrologer, and like this we become basically hopeless. And in that situation, we have no other choice than turn to Krishna for whatever the problem is. Srila Prabhupada in the third canto gives one very interesting purport. It's the third canto, chapter 21. I just tried to read. It is sloka 28. Thus, Srila Prabhupada is saying, thus it is said that if we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, everything will be done very nicely and just suitable to our heart's desire. In other words, in all circumstances, we must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depend completely on His decision. Man proposes, God disposes. The fulfillment of desires, therefore, should be entrusted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the nicest solution. Kardama Muni desired only a wife. But because he was a devotee of the Lord selected a wife for him who was the emperor's daughter, a princess. Thus, Kardama Muni got a wife beyond his expectation. If we depend on the choice of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we'll receive benedictions in greater opulence than we desire. So, interesting statement here. If we pray to the Supreme Lord in every transaction of our material existence, there are so many transactions in our material existence. Every day so many transactions are going on, and sometimes our calculation might not be the best. So we need help in these transactions. So what do we do? Prabhupada says, pray to the Supreme Lord. And also he says, in all circumstances, we must take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So we might think, well, this is a material thing. Why am I going to bother the Supreme Lord for this? It's not proper. pure devotees, they don't like to bother Supreme Lord with their material difficulties and problems. But Avi Prahlad Maharaj, Avi Maharaj Ambarish, so we should not imitate those like Prahlad Maharaj. We should act honestly on whatever level we are at. So if we are at the level that we really need help and then we don't know what to do, it's much, much better to approach the Supreme Lord for help and shelter than to try to solve the problem ourselves. I mean, we can try, but then what if we are not successful? And in many cases, we are not successful. We are not able to solve the problem. So we must take shelter of the Lord. Many, many years ago, I had one small realization that actually Krishna taught me this same, very same point. At that time, I was still very young devotee and I wanted to leave the temple. But my parents, they didn't let me. They wanted me to study and get a degree. But I didn't want. But they went to the temple president and they convinced him that I should do that. And he ordered me, yes, you cannot come here. You cannot live in the temple. You have to go to school. And then I had to surrender. I said, okay, I will do it. But the school was very difficult. It was a bit above my head. It had more than 30 exams and they were all books above 500 pages and I didn't have much time. I studied as much as I could, but at the end, just before the exam, I would realize I don't really know this. I know maybe only 50 or 60%, so I had no other choice. I had to pray, Krishna, please help me. And somehow, miraculously, Krishna would help. I would go for the exam, I would draw the card from a pile of cards with the questions, and always, absolutely always, these were the questions that I learned. And almost always I would get the highest mark. Only once I had enough time. So I studied the whole book, I learned everything, and was very confident. So I thought, now this time I'm not going to bother Krishna anymore. I don't need help. I know this. I'm going to pass. So I went for the exam, very confidently sat there, took my questions, started answering them. But then the teacher started to ask me some very, very tricky questions. And I was completely bewildered. I didn't know what to say. And I failed. The only exam that I studied properly, I failed. And all other exams that I prayed to Krishna, I passed. Then I understood, actually, we have to depend on Krishna in whatever endeavor we are undertaking. Otherwise, to think that I can do it, it's illusion. To think that we are controllers and the doers, it's illusion. So in all circumstances, always, everywhere, at any time, we should take shelter of Krishna and pray to Him. So how do we take shelter of Krishna? How do we pray to Krishna? The easiest and the most simple way is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One of my friends told me when he was just about to become a devotee, he used to play darts. You know that game with its small pointed missiles, arrows that you throw at the dartboard as a target? He was a very passionate player of darts. And somebody taught him a Maha Mantra. So he thought, let me check out this mantra. Is it really working or not? So every and each time when he would throw a dart, he would chant full Maha Mantra. And on his amazement, every time, he would strike exactly the center. First time, second, third, 10 times. Every time he would chant the mantra, he would strike the target exactly in the middle. And that convinced him that this mantra is working and that he should start to chant it. So it's a little funny example, but just to illustrate that in all circumstances we should take shelter of the Lord by praying to Him and chanting His holy names. But Prabhupada says that we should depend on the Lord for the decision. What is going to be the outcome actually depends on the Lord. It's not that we make a list of our desires and we come in front of the deities and we just read it. Oh Krishna, I want this, I want a big car, I want a nice house, beautiful wife, this and that. And you have to give me exactly like this. It has to be housed, four floors, this and that. No, we do not specify. We can state our difficulty, our problem, but we let Krishna choose how He's going to solve that particular situation. We don't demand, I want it to be solved like this. No, we let Krishna solve it in the way He thinks is the best for us. So if we look from this point of angle, these dangers in the material world and difficulties and all troubles and problems they're facing, they're actually very welcome because they force us to pray to Krishna and to take shelter of Krishna. Queen Kunti, she is praying, Vipadasantu Tatshashvat Tatra Tatra Jagad Guru Bhavato Darshanam Yat Syat Apunar Bhava Darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. We know that Pandavas, they were exposed to so many dangers, but because Krishna was always there, they actually desired that these dangers continue. So dangers and difficulties that we're facing are impetus for remembering Krishna. In this way, in this sense, they're very, very welcome because we have no other choice than to take shelter of Him. That's why Lord Brahma, in the 10th cat of Bhagavatam, he prays to Lord Krishna, Samashrita ye pada palava plavam. He says, for those who have taken shelter of the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And then he says, Mahatpadam punya yasho murare, of the Lord, who is the shelter of whole cosmic creation, and who is famous as Murari. For them, Bhavam Buddhir Vatsapadam Parampadam. So for them, this ocean of material existence, this Bhava Sagar, becomes what? Becomes as a little water in calf's hoofprint. And what is their destination? Their destination is Parampadam, Vaikuntha, the world where there are no anxieties. And they have nothing to do with this material world who is padam padam yad vipadam natesham. This world is not meant for them. So by just taking shelter of the Lord, we'll become entitled to go to that place where there are no anxieties. So if we have some anxieties, we should take advantage of them and pray to Krishna, approach Him, take shelter of Him, and in this way we'll always remember Him. It's quite common that devotees pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for protection and for so many other things. If you go downstairs, you see a line of people with the plates of offerings in front of Lord Nrisimhadev. What do you think they are all praying for? Just pure devotional service? Maybe some of them, but many of them, they're also praying for so many other material things. For cure, for incurable diseases, for this problem or that problem, for husband or a wife, for a son or a daughter, for this or that. They're approaching Lord Nrisimha there. So we should, and it's very good, we should approach Lord Nrisimha there. But there is one better thing that we can pray for than protection of our own bodies. We should pray for protection from forgetting Him. If you look how much during the day we actually remember Krishna, then we actually can realize that there is a great need to pray for protection, for forgetfulness of Krishna. It's easy to remember Him when we're here in the temple in front of the deities. But when we go outside and do our daily duties, our worldly duties during the day, it's very difficult to get distracted and to forget Him. Vishnu Purana states, if even for a moment the remembrance of Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is missed, that is the greatest loss. That is the greatest illusion, and that is the greatest anomaly. Therefore, in all circumstances, we should pray to be saved from forgetfulness of Krishna, not only the time of death, but at all other times. Okay, I'll stop here. If there are any comments or questions, we can have them now. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, as you told that we are not like Prahlad Maharaj, that whenever we are in danger or necessities, we should pray to the Lord for His mercy. But Prabhupada is also mentioning that Lord is sitting inside the heart as super soul. He knows everything, what you need and what type of difficulty you are facing. So no need to pray or bother the Lord. How we can understand these two situations?
Yes, I think I explained that in the whole class. Whole class was explanation of that we should not imitate Prahlad Maharaj if we are not Prahlad Maharaj. He was actually completely surrendered to the Lord. He was absorbed in the Lord and meditating on Him. So he saw that there was no need to inform the Lord because he saw the Lord present in front of him. But if we are not on that level, what we are going to do? And we are going to try to sell ourselves? We can try, but then when we see it doesn't work, we have no other choice. It's a spontaneous, instinctive reaction to take shelter of the Lord and pray for His help. So yes, some pure devotees, they do not pray, and then they are completely surrendered to the Lord and wait for the Lord to save them. And some other devotees, as I gave the example of Brijbasis, Nanda Maharaj, they pray for protection and Krishna comes and helps them. So it's not just a matter of whether we pray or not. It's not a matter of whether we state it or not verbally. It's a matter of whether we are aware that Krishna is there to protect us or not. So if we are not really completely aware, it is always good for us, ourselves. It's for our benefit to pray to Him, because by praying to Him, we're actually taking shelter of Him and we are remembering Him. And in this way, He would probably protect us anyway, but it's for our own benefit to pray to Him, because in this way, we are consciously taking shelter of Him and remembering Him. And in this way, we are not only protected and safe from the danger, but we also get the spiritual benefit. Our hearts get purified by constant remembrance of Him. Is this clear? Is there anything else? Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
In the presence of so many dangers and situation like this, how can we conceive this Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnamata Swadhanam? How to conceive this Ananda is increasing, and every step we are taking the taste of devotional service. Is it possible practically, Prabhuji?
when I started first time to chant Maha Mantra, I had a very distinct experience. When just first time when I started to chant, I felt that I was burning in the forest fire. And then just by this chanting, I felt that the fire was extinguishing. I felt very cooling effect. And then later, I read in Shashtaka that actually this is the effect, whether we perceive it or not. This is the effect of Nam Sankirtan, that the forest fire is starting to get extinguished. Still here and there, there might be some small sparks, but these sparks, they are under control of Krishna. So we shouldn't be worried if we see around these small sparks, because we should be convinced that big fire, it's already finished. We just have to be patient enough to wait for the small sparks to be finished also. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the wonderful lecture. In this shloka, demigods are praying like we are all surrendered soul at your lotus feet. Indeed, our minds are bound to your lotus feet in meditation by chains of love. So how is possible that demigods pray like that? Because in previous verses, it explained they are Sakama devotees, or devotees with material desires. Who balance that?
So how do we understand that they are saying that their hearts are bound by chains of love, although they are not pure devotees? Well, even if the devotee is not pure, that doesn't mean that he is completely devoid of love, that his heart is just like a glacier or stone. No, any devotee, even if he is a neophyte, he has some affection for the Lord in his heart. It might not be fully developed and blossom love, but it is some spark of love, some natural inclination. Every living entity has an affinity and inclination and tendency to love somebody. And when we direct that tendency towards the Supreme Lord and we cultivate devotional service, that love gradually grows. It's not that love is something that is all of a sudden just manifests in our heart out of nothing, out of blue. No, it gradually manifests and starts to grow and grow until it becomes big fire that completely consumes our whole being. So demigods, they also have some love. It's not that they are completely devoid of it. Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. Okay, Prabhu, this the prayers you see after the Narasimha prayers, a lot of devotees offering lamps in the temple. Actually, that's for Jayapataka Maharaj in Delhi. He is very sick. So they are all intensely praying, and then now he is out of the intensive care unit. And now he's like recovered a lot. He's out of the danger. That's why the devotees every day are praying very intensely to the Lord Narasimhadev to save him from the, you know, we don't want to lose him. That's one thing. Then Prabhupada he was telling us, when Maharaj was giving us, the incident happened in Calcutta when there was a bombing going on, bombs were falling near Prabhupada's house. A lot of bombs were falling, and he was just offering samosa to the Lord. So then he was not bothered about the bombs falling here and there. So then suddenly, after some time, then devotees asked Prabhupada, why didn't you run away, and why there was so much screaming and there were a lot of people dying in the Calcutta. So why you never protected yourself? He said, okay, for me it is very simple. I'm offering samosa here. If I die, I'll be offering samosa with the Lord Narayana. So what does it make? What is the difference? So I'm not this bomb. I see as, if it comes to me, it will come as Krishna. So we should not see the dangers as dangers, because they are all mercy of Krishna, because we don't have this, we don't have dangers in life, we don't have challenges. Then how can we, like a gold, when it's not put into fire, how can it become pure gold? So same way as a devotee, pure devotional service will only come when we go through this fire of devotional service, when we face these challenges. And then coming back to that thing, where we feel good, because when we face the challenges, and then we see the Lord acting, to remove these challenges, these obstacles, that is very nectarian, because then you see that, you know, Lord is really helping me to come out of this dangerous situation. And that's a great nectar, because Lord has protected us, and that gives us more faith to chant more and Avash Rakshibe Krishna. That means Krishna will always protect me, whether I'm in heaven or hell, doesn't matter. So that's the attitude of a devotee, that he doesn't care for these dangers. Just a Kunti Maharani also praying. So we also, I mean, we shouldn't pray, but we shouldn't be very complacent, because sometimes we become complacent, you know, in devotional service. So Krishna sends his miseries to rectify us and to remember him more and more intensely. So when we pray intensely to Lord, then we get the maximum benefit of chanting our prayers to the Lord. That is what is nectar.
Yes, Prabhu, thank you very much. It's a very nice comment. And of course, yes, we should pray to Lord Nisinghana, especially for the health of our Guru. It's a completely selfless motivation, and it's a pure devotional service to pray for the health of other devotees. And yes, yeah, I remember Prabhupada was eating kachoris while the Germans were bombing Kolkata, and he didn't bother to go out. But I don't know how many of us, when that earthquake started, just sit very peacefully. And anyway, everybody's individual, so we should not try to imitate others. We should try to be ourselves. Gitanagar Prabhu, you wanted to say something? Can you give me a mic, please?
I was just going to make a comment, maybe you can.
Yes, please.
A lot of times in these prayers in the Bhagavatam, it's not a matter of the verbalization of the prayer, it's a matter of ras. So, for example, Gajendra was backed up against the wall, and he had no other choice. He was this far from slipping into death and being consumed by the crocodile. So the thing is, he had nowhere else to turn. There was no shelter. He was totally, completely shelterless. None of his fellow elephants can help him. Not his strength. He was backed up against the wall, completely backed up against the wall, nowhere else to turn. So therefore, he verbalized the prayer to Narayan, remembering his past life. So so it's a ras. In other words, when you're really backed up against the wall and there's nowhere else to turn, you better pray to God. If you're not praying to God, then who else are you going to pray to?
So the most natural thing.
Yeah, it's the most natural thing. Yeah. So there's a ras there of I'm helpless and you're the only one who can help me. So I'm praying to you because you are the only one to help me, who can help me. And because Gajendra, because the Lord was the only one who could help him, he showed up. Yeah, so like that.
That is very much true. When we have no other shelter, Krishna is the only shelter that is left.
Yes, that's correct. And so there's a ras there. When there is no other shelter, you are my only shelter. And of course.
And this happens quite often.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with Prahlad Maharaj, it's described that Prahlad, in the seventh canto, it's described that Prahlad Maharaj was so absorbed in love of Godhead that he didn't know whether he was sitting down or standing up. He didn't know whether he was sitting down or standing up. That's how absorbed in love of Godhead he was. So when you're at that point, what's the point of praying at all? You know what I'm saying? So the thing is, like I said, that he didn't.
That's also a very nice point. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hare.
Thank you, Prabhu. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hare.